broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 31st in the year of our Lord, 2018. This, my fellow Americans, is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and in our lives. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the Founding Fathers, one of the great restorative solutions we have today. We got to work together to make America great again, but to make America great again, we got to make America moral again. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. I'm going to set aside my recap of previous shows. We don't have time. We need to focus on a critical issue before us, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to do so by telling you some real stories, some personal stories. Stories really kind of don't do the narrative justice because they are heart-wrenching, personal, internal experiences. I say stories because we need to tell you the story behind the scenes so you can know what's going on, how it breaks down, who's involved, and what it really means in terms of its ramifications, not only on a personal level for, say, Sam and our guests coming up, but for you in America and for you around the world. Now, all of our lives, we've heard about Christian persecution in foreign lands. And that's tragic, and we've done our best to stop it. We've done our best to stand up for what's right, but it's kind of been, out of sight, out of mind to some degree. We're not saying that it's not important. We're just saying that, hey, when you're in America, you almost live in a bubble a little bit. But the truth is, the Christian persecution that has been well known in the history of the world ever since Cain killed Abel, right on through the murdering of Stephen, the first martyr for Christ biblically, right on through to literally hanging the Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. Thank heavens, we're confident that 3 days later he rose from the dead and lives again, and he invites all men to follow him for peace and safety and stability. We testify to that reality. However, this battle has been going on, and I articulate a couple of little events in history to kind of solidify the point that we're making. And those who follow Christ have been persecuted all along the world's history. And we think it's something that doesn't happen to us because America's been incredibly peaceful. In America, in its foundings, if you will, Pilgrims Forward, so to speak, Founding Fathers Forward, was a absolute Christian nation. And I know they try to debate this, but the documents are very clear. Even the ones that weren't confident in Christ, they called them, some of them were deists. And yeah, we respect the right to believe how, where, what you may. But even the ones that weren't quite as solid of Christians as others maybe had a firm testimony of Christ and an understanding that there was a God or some supreme being, an almighty. They may not have understood Christianity well enough. They may have had differing opinions. That's all okay. But understand that the founders believed, to a man, without a doubt, that there was a greater source, a sovereign, if you will, that trumped any governmental authority. Right? Let's be clear on that. Any man-made organization was trumped by this, I would call it deity, or God, or supreme being, or whatever term you want to use for that. That was clear to the founders and was the core of our nation. Well, that's been a wonderful thing for a couple of hundred years, but now that's being tossed aside like a dish rag. Tragic, but no doubt true. Well, Christian persecution around the world has been increasing, believe it or not, and it's now coming to the shores of America. And it's been here for some time, but the ratchet up begins, and they're making it personal. With that brief introduction, I'm going to introduce James Edwards of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. I introduce him as a dear friend, as a brother in Christ, and I introduce him as a fellow talk show host. We syndicate his show. He's also a co-host on Liberty Roundtable Live monthly, so let's be clear who he is. He's a personal friend. We're family friends, and I will not back away from that one iota. I'll double down on that reality, that friendship, which is a blessing in my life. All right, I bring that all up to introduce you, James. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Sam, as you know, both you and Kurt, everything you said about me, I would say back to you and your family and Kurt and his family tenfold. God had a plan in bringing you into my life. My life is better and more rich because of it. You've been a tremendous blessing to me, but also to my wife and children. And I love y'all, and I know that you're always there for me as a brother should be. Unfortunately, in this day and age, men aren't as loyal and as sturdy and as stout as they were in better times. And a lot of that is because we've gotten away from the truth of the Bible, and men have become weak and corrupted. And so in life, one has ups and downs. I have them, you have them, we all have them. But it is in the times of despair when brotherly love is even more valuable. And I appreciate you giving that to me today.
And I want to make this very clear before we get started with the story of the personal persecution as Christians we're experiencing. But I want to say this. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, let me make that clear. I'm not saying that I'm an apostle. I'm not one of the 12 apostles. But I am a disciple in the sense that disciple means follower of Christ. And I know that you are as well, James. Let's make that very clear from the get-go of our discussion.
That is true. I can go back very vividly, and I can remember the day many years ago. I was still a boy. I came to Christ very young in life, but I remember exactly where I was sitting, exactly who was with me, exactly what part of the room I was in, and what it felt like in that moment. Even as someone around 10 years old, when it happened for me, I remember getting baptized. I grew up in the church. I remember my pastor being there with me that day. This was almost 30 years ago now. But I'll never forget the moment that I asked Christ to be my personal Lord and Savior. Sam, I'm sorry. I've been through a lot this week, and these are wonderful memories in my life, and it's emotional. And I think about my pastor being there that day, and my father, my grandfather, when that happened for me. And I think about my life and the wonderful, precious memories growing up in the church, being a teacher of Vacation Bible School for many years, being in the choir, helping out, doing odd jobs for the church, and just the wonderful, how much it shaped my life that I was born into a family with parents who took me to church, and sitting in the pews every Sunday with my grandparents and my parents, and just marinating in the Word of God and having that be part of my upbringing. You cannot separate the man I am today. And I guess the man I am today, the opinion of who that man is differs. But if you ask somebody from the Southern Poverty Law Center, you ask somebody who actually knows me. But the man I am today was certainly shaped and molded by those experiences. And of course, it's not just me, but I guess, like you, Sam, being in the public eye, being attacked, being a political commentator, that comes with the terrain. But the very man who led me to Christ is also under attack today because of my political activism.
All right, then I testify that Jesus is the Christ as well. And I've been baptized. I am a follower of Christ. I will not deny the Christ. And I consider myself a disciple or a follower of Christ. Saint Sam, if you will, I'm far from a saint, but I try to be a saint. I try to do what God and the Savior Jesus Christ tell me to do. I try to keep the commandments of God, and that governs my life to promote God, family, and country everywhere I go. And I just wanted to set on the record a little bit of our personal testimonies of who we are. I testify that God lives, that his son Jesus Christ died on the cross and was resurrected to save all men and women who are willing to follow. And that's kind of the key issue, is that Christ does not take away agency, but he invites us all. And I bring that up to say that's where we stand individually, all right, as leaders of families, as men, in America. However, there's been a sea change, if you will, that I don't think people are aware of happening in America. Good is called evil, and evil is called good. And we're seeing that everywhere we go. So why don't we just start there, James? Why don't you just tell your personal story? Then we'll eventually add how I got involved.
Well, this is certainly a long and convoluted story that now stretches back about 2 years, if you want to fast forward right up to this week's events. I guess that's what you're asking for.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, as I mentioned, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. I was a cradle Southern Baptist. My grandparents were going to the Southern Baptist church where I was born into before I was born, and the pastor of that church has been the only pastor I've ever known. He's been the only pastor that that has governed a church to which I have belonged. And so that's going back for him about 40 years, for me 38 years, because I'll be 38 years old next month. And so he's been my pastor literally my entire life. He's the only pastor I've ever had. I've visited other churches if I'm out of town or going to see a friend get baptized or something like that. I'm not going to say I've never heard another pastor speak. He's been the only pastor of a church that I've been a member of. And you may remember, I think there was something in the news about this at the time, but Donald Trump Jr. appeared on the Liberty Roundtable show.
All right, let's take a quick pause. We'll tell you about that and a whole lot more. I think, James got married. I'll tell you who married him, too. Liberty Roundtable Live. Hold on, folks. Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
In my humble opinion, this will be a must-listen-to radio broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Christian persecution coming to a theater near you. It starts with James Edwards in Modern Times in America. He's telling you his story now. James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org. James, you were telling your story, and you mentioned Donald Trump Jr., sir.
Well, that's right. And as you said just before the break, I should just add a little more texture to the relationship that I've had with my pastor and having grown up in his church. He is much more than a pastor. Our congregation has always been a small congregation, running well under 200 members, even in its heyday. And it was a tight-knit church, very sweet fellowship. And in addition to being the man who led me to Christ, he was much more than that. I can remember throughout my life if there was ever a problem. At any time, past midnight, 2 a.m., you call him, he's at your house to go through it with you. He buried every grandparent that I've had. He officiated the funeral. He has been there for the birth of my children. He has been there at the very best days of my life and the very worst days of my life. He introduced me to my wife. He married my wife and I. If there was ever an event in my life that was monumental, whether it's a death, a birth, a marriage, he was there like a father, like my father. And anyway, so that gives you the context of our
even involved with baptisms and children and baptisms and more, right?
Well, that's absolutely right. And of course, yes, I mean, no, he's been there. There's nothing that has been significant that he hasn't been there for me, and has appeared on my radio program several times. So we bring him on to talk, you know, sometimes a Christmas message or an Easter message, or sometimes just to come in and talk about whatever. And of course, you will remember Sam having met him at our most recent. He was actually at both of them, but I know that you'll recall the most recent conference that we had in Memphis, at which he delivered the opening prayer to begin our meeting. And so that's how we racist and haters do it. We like to open our prayers, open our meetings and open our conferences in prayer and give God the glory for our meal and for our time together. And so, no, I mean, even on day-to-day things, it doesn't have to be a birth or a death. He's there for me. And in fact, we spent some time the last couple of days having lunch together. So anyway, that fast-forwards us back up to the Donald Trump Jr. interview and how we got to where we are today. Donald Trump Jr. interview, you'll remember, of course, made worldwide news, is still making news, and was something that was just revived time and time again in the establishment lying press in 2016. Your interview of Donald Trump Jr. that I sat in for and also asked some questions on. And at the time when the media was giving their spin on that and talking about how hate-filled and evil that interview was,
by the way, really quick, I submit that interview is online at libertyroundtable.com for a candid person to a candid world to look up and listen and see how hate-filled it really was. I lay down that gauntlet, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, sir.
Well, it was a wonderful interview, yeah, and one that that Trump Jr. very much appreciated at the time. But during that whole furor, the officially designated spokesman for the Southern Baptist Convention made a public comment saying that Donald Trump Jr. appeared on white supremacist James Edwards' radio program, which, of course, we won't get into the whole detail of it, but of course it wasn't my program. It was yours. They had intended to come on mine, and I think people may remember the chain of events of that, but that's irrelevant.
But the fact, just because the media didn't get the facts right, that you know, that's typical standard fare for the Lion Press anyway, and that's number one. Number two, though, we reject the white supremacy claim for either of us, right? I reject that we're white supremacists. I don't believe that's true for me. It's not how I operate, and I say my life points to the contrary, and I would submit yours does as well.
Well, that's absolutely right. I have never, ever referred to myself as a racist or a white supremacist or a bigot or a hater or any of these other things that are attributed to me.
And when I know firsthand, when I anchored James's show, when James was in Memphis and Donald Trump came to town and James Edwards got a press pass to attend, James was getting set up for his broadcast and there was a reporter that happened to be African-American or black that was late and couldn't get in. And none of the other people helped this person get in, but James went over and helped this person. Well, that's just a fact of record that we talked about on the radio.
Well, and of course, anybody who knows me knows what's in my heart. And for the people who do hate me and could tell these lies and the malevolence that must be within their soul is a pity. But no, of course. Now, I do talk candidly about issues that other people won't touch, and I'm proud of my heritage. And because I defend my ancestors and I defend our culture, I defend Western civilization, all of these nasty things are said. But the point of it is that even one of the head figures of my own denomination piled on in that instance, which was, I think, very unchristian. First of all, you're not supposed to lie about people. And secondly, as the Bible instructs brothers in Christ to do, there is a procedure for coming to one's brother when you have a problem. Matthew 18:15-17 says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone.
Yeah, take it between he and thee and resolve the matter. And we can also look at, you know, even if we decide that James is a lost sheep, if you will, what we're supposed to do is leave the 99 and go after James to try to bring him back and protect him and care for him and love him and help him to learn how to follow Christ in the proper way, kind of a thing. So even that biblical reality comes to bear. Nevertheless,
no, that's right, and so that would not happen. That did not happen. And in fact, the denominational headquarters just basically piled on, told a lie, and of course I was hurt by that. I expect this from godless people. I expect this from evil people. I would have never expected this necessarily from the church. And so for the past 2 years, there's been an ongoing discussion, I guess you could say, between me and other people in the church. But even back in 2016. My pastor received a call that was 2 years ago, and during this call, there was pressure put on him to discipline me, and by discipline, they meant for him to expel me from the church. And he told them 2 years ago what he has told them again over the course of the last 6 weeks, and that is, I appreciate you coming to me, but I've known James Edwards since he was in diapers, and the things that people are saying about him is untrue. And when faced with every bit of evidence they could muster against me, he defended it all because there was no sin in it.
Now, hold on. Let's be clear, though. They brought the so-called Southern Poverty Law Center generated trash to bear. The pastor, your pastor, knew better. However, the opposite hasn't been true. They're not able or willing to listen to the evidence that would defend you, James.
Well, you would think that a man who has known me my entire life is more capable and better suited to issue an opinion on me than people, political organizations or the establishment press or people who have never even taken the time to pick up a phone and call me and ask me. I guarantee you, if there's anyone who is sincere within the Southern Baptist Church who has issue with me, it's nothing that couldn't be resolved if they sat down with me at a table for 10 minutes and got to know just a sliver of who I am. But so that was 2016, and Pastor said that he would not take that action against me, and it eventually died down, but it has come back with a vengeance over the course of the last 6 weeks. I don't know exactly why now that they have come back, but leadership in the Southern Baptist Convention has, for the course of the last 6 weeks, and I just found out about it earlier this week. He said he didn't want to trouble me with it.
And I'll give you the answer really quick. Why? Because the loony left has an ever-increasing war chest of money, who hire people who spend time to troll the internet and to find anybody who believes in anything traditional. One man, one woman marriage, pro-life, any Christian principle that you can attack, anything good, lovely, praiseworthy, they will attack. Anything virtuous, they will attack. And so they're just on this bender with this war chest to destroy and divide on any fault line they can, anything good, in an effort to destroy and tear asunder anything that's godly, anything that relates to family, anything that relates to morality and true patriotism for country, anything that has honor and integrity, they want to destroy. And they are doing everything they can to make that happen. And the persecution for Americans intensifies. And because the race issue is a very volatile one, where people, once they get called a racist, there's no discussion left. The divide tactics have been sown so well on this front that all you got to do is say someone's a racist. And now, I mean, you won't even have a chance to defend yourself, set the record straight. The divide's too great on this one. It's just like the third rail almost. And so the second they say James Edwards is a racist, then no one needs to talk to James. It's a given conclusion. That's what this divide tactic has done. It's a lie, but the persecution is starting here, but it'll eventually attack anybody who has Christian beliefs. We'll talk about it with James Edwards in seconds.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, I wrote my headline that relates to this hour now, and I'm going to give it to you. Christians facing intense, increasing persecution in America, sadly, even at the hands of fellow saints. Tragic but true, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking to James Edwards of the PoliticalCesspool.org radio program, a personal dear friend and more, and he's telling you his story. His Christian Baptist pastor of the Southern Baptist Convention literally has known James since he's been in diapers and has been involved in every critical aspect of his life, from births to deaths to marriages to baptisms and beyond. The attack started to ratchet up a couple of years ago as James really stands for pro-white views. Okay, he's not a white supremacist. He doesn't like the term white nationalist because he believes that goes into a persecution of other races or a superiority kind of discussion. All James is saying is he's a Southern man, he's white, he's proud of his heritage, and he wants to celebrate it, and he's fine with others doing the same. For that, relentlessly attacked, and the attacks have gone to me, as we've known since the Donald Trump Jr. interview as well, I stand beside James 1,000%. And the reason that I do is because I know James personally. I've spent time with his children and him and his wife. And I'm telling you that I've sat at their dinner table, and I'm telling you they're good, honorable Christian people. And I'm telling you right now, I will not back down from that truth. I will stand 1,000% for that and defend this good man. However, The problem is the second you mention race, James, then it's the untouchable. No one's going to even talk to you because, I mean, who would want to talk to an evil, hate-filled racist? And they've generated this polarizing narrative in America with a divide-and-conquer the Christians agenda. They're starting with race. They're starting with the gay and lesbian agenda. But they're going to back into every vestige of Christianity in time. Mark my words. But with that, continue, sir. I just wanted to explain why so everybody gets it.
No. And you've inspired me with your commentary there. I hang my hat. If there's one word I would use to describe myself, it would be loyal to brothers. And that is just so rare today. When people have something to lose, the bonds of brotherhood seem to evaporate more times than they don't. And so in a time like this, and I guess we're about to get into what my pastor is facing now, that a man like you over the course of your life, and I said this to Fred this week, I said there's three men that I know in my life who have stood by me at a time when they had something personal to lose, when they had something financial to lose. And I'm not saying other great men wouldn't. I think there are other men in my life, other friends that I have that would do that just as I would do it to them. But the fact of the matter is, only three people in my life have ever stood by me when there was something on the line to them that could be taken away: my father, my pastor, and you, Sam. And I was thinking, as you were saying it, and great headline, by the way, there was also another event in my life that my pastor was an integral part of, my campaign for office in 2002. He delivered the opening speech and introduced me when I announced my candidacy. And he went out and knocked on doors with me on more days than I can remember in the hot summer sun of 2002. Literally every moment that has ever meant anything to me in my life, he's been there for. And so getting back to the situation, he received a call about 6 weeks ago. And the person asked, he introduced himself as an official with the church and or with the denomination, not our personal church, not our home church, but the governing body, the convention. And he said,
and let's be clear so our listeners know they're not all of the same faith. It would be the Southern Baptist Convention, right?
That is correct, the Southern Baptist Convention. So this was a representative of the head table, I guess you could say.
Which your church, by the way, is a I don't know what you say, an honorable member of that organization to date, right?
Yeah, it's a church that has belonged, has been sanctioned by, it is an officially sanctioned Southern Baptist Church, you know, however you want to put it.
It's a
part of
affiliated in good standing.
Exactly.
All right. Perfect. Go ahead.
And so he asked if James Edwards is a member of the church. And of course, Pastor said, yes, he's been a member. I've known him his whole life. And of course, when somebody calls Pastor and asks about me, he knows what's coming. And they said, well, we've got a problem. We've heard some things about James, and he's guilty of the sin of racism, and he's unrepentant in his race. I want to be very careful, and very guarded about what I say, because I am telling you things that I have been told. And when you do that, when somebody tells you something and you tell it to somebody else, there's always a chance that the message is going to get altered. And in a case like this, when it's something so important, I don't want the message to be altered one bit. I want it to be exactly as it was said.
I defend your position as you don't want to be relaying secondhand or thirdhand information. At the same time, I'm going to be very careful to point out, though, you're doing the best you can to tell the story as honorably as you can from your understanding and perspective, and these people have not discussed things openly, directly, between he and thee, as the biblical reality calls to do. You haven't had that opportunity, and so all you have is what you've been given, and they could change that in an instant is the point.
I'm going by the memory of what somebody else told me, and you can get it pretty close, but on something like this, I want it to be word for word, which is why my pastor will be my guest on my show on Saturday night to so you can hear it directly from the source. But essentially, the gist...
Hold on. To do that, thepoliticalcesspool.org is where you can hear live and on-demand radio. Thepoliticalcesspool.org is the website, and it's every Saturday evening, 7 to 10 p.m., Eastern time, 6 to 9 Central, 5 to 8 Mountain, thepoliticalcesspool.org if you want to listen. I just want to make sure people know where to go. Go ahead, James.
Thank you so much, Sam. And so my pastor will be my guest this week. It's very timely because the convention at which there's going to be a vote taken on our fate, is coming up in less than 2 weeks. So that's June 11th in Dallas, or June 12th, I believe. And so basically the gist of it all was that they've heard some bad things about me, and Pastor said, well, what have you heard? And they said, well, we heard that James is a racist. And Pastor can say, well, I can put that to rest right now. He's not. What else have you heard? And they went through, and this had gone on for 6 weeks, mind you. And they had sent him an email that listed all of the things that they were concerned with. And Pastor told me that most of the evidence that was there, the so-called evidence, were things that had been written about me by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which we can just say, to be polite, it is not a Christian organization. And also,
amen to that. By the way, though, we have a letter of retraction against another brother of ours, Richard Mack. They lied about Richard in an event that I was at. They got caught lying and were forced to print a retraction. We have that to this day. I think Richard was going to frame it to prove the point, though. They've literally been attacking Christians. And if you don't believe me, ask Matt Staver of the Liberty Council, or ask Tony Perkins of the American Family Association. There's a lot of people they've been attacking as well. So let's be clear. They're attacking Christians. And I want to make that very clear. Go ahead, sir. You're in good company with Tony and Matt, by the way.
No, there's no doubt about it. And then they said, well, CNN said this. And my pastor said something along the lines of, why are you using information from the Southern Poverty Law Center and CNN in a case against a Christian brother? And then they said, well, James has said that Western civilization has contributed more to mankind than other people. And I think, and again, I'm trying to get...
By the way, I double down and say that's true.
Well, Pastor asked, he said, is that untrue? Is it a sin if he is wrong about that? Something along those lines. And then this was the thing that I do remember word for word. Pastor said, can I ask you something, friend? Are you white? And the guy said, oh, yeah. And Pastor said, are you ashamed of it? And he said there was about a 30-second pause. There was a long pause. And the member of the Inquisition said, well, no, I'm not ashamed of it. He said, are you proud of it? And he said, there was another long pause. He said, no, I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud to be white either. He said, well, I am. This is my pastor speaking now. Well, I am proud of the way God made me. And so is James Edwards. And that's not a sin.
And by the way, let's set the record here. I am proud that I'm white because that is the way God made me. And I think every person should be proud of their heritage. I don't think anybody should back away in shame for the way God made them or for their heritage.
Well, and Pastor followed up with that by saying, he said, would it be okay with you if one of our black brothers in Christ was proud to be black? And the man instantly said, oh, yeah, no, sure, that's fine. He said, you answered that really quick.
And by the way, I'm happy to say that black people should be proud of the way that God made them and their heritage too, James.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. I would never take that from. I think you know my position, Sam. It's a shame we have to restate it so often, but my position is we're all brothers in Christ once we accept Jesus as our Savior, and everybody on this earth should be proud of their culture, proud of their heroes, proud of their history. It's not a denigration of anyone else to be proud. And of course, as you know, the double standard exists where, in fact, certainly members of other races and ethnicities are...
But I reject the double standard, and I say that I want to treat people like children of God, even if they don't believe in God. Let's make that very clear. All right, quick pause. Sam, Kurt, James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our guest, really a co-host, riding shotgun on the broadcast today, Mr. James Edwards. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is the website for his book, for his beliefs, for his radio show, and more. Christians are facing intense and increasing persecution in America, sadly, even at the hands of fellow saints. It's a tragic reality, folks, but we got to bring it to you here first. So James is telling you his story. So his pastor is having a conversation with some of the leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention about disfellowshipping or kicking James out of the church. James?
That's right, and I also want to be clear when I say this. I guess people probably picked up on it when I announced that my pastor is going to be the guest on my program this week. But in talking with Pastor this week, I asked his permission and his blessing to talk about this publicly before I agreed to come on the show, before I agreed to speak out on it or write about it or anything like that, and that blessing was given. So I'm not trading in information that he would otherwise have me not share. So that I want to be clear on that. So basically, this was basically something that had gone on for 6 weeks. I'm giving you information about one of the phone calls where the rubber hit the road, I guess you could say. And they went back and forth. Well, James says he's proud of Western civilization. James is a racist. James has interviewed David Duke. I mean, that's something that got brought up.
By the way, and so is CNN and everybody else, just to set the record straight, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly what Pastor said. And Pastor said, you're picking out one guest. He's had, he's been on the air for 14 years. He's interviewed everybody from movie stars to members of Congress. And I'm not going to, he said, what else you got? And it's just everything they threw at, I think that they expect.
By the way, what if James Edwards is to influence David Duke to be a Christian? Oh, he already is. Okay, just wondering.
Well, and that's, again, you're talking about honor. It would have been much more expedient for me to have disavowed David Duke a long time ago. It would have saved me a lot of headache and a lot of grief. And the reason I've never been able to do it is because I have something called integrity. And because I gave David Duke years ago the opportunity to, I was given the opportunity, I guess I should say, to get to know him. I have found him to be a man worthy of my friendship, and I'm thankful for his friendship that he's been a guest in my home. And people are going to say, I know that's shocking to people because you may say, well, I've heard all these terrible things.
That's why I tell you this race discussion, buddy. You throw out that R word, dude, and we're not. There's nothing we can talk about anymore. Someone's just so evil. I mean, they're worse than Hitler. Now, I'm not defending Hitler. I'm making a point that it becomes, you can't even talk intelligently anymore. They've literally created this divide so belligerently. I'll give you an example. They claim that I support David Duke. I don't even know the guy. Now, I'm not downing David Duke. I hear he's a Christian and a good guy from people that know him. I hear he's evil from people that hate him. I don't even know, except I'm going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt and say that he has a right to free speech just like everybody else. But the same discussion happens between James and David Duke as happens between me and James. People say that I shouldn't associate with James. Why? Because James associates with David Duke. Why? Because, and pretty soon now, I'm expected to assassinate the character of James Edwards on that hearsay. I will not do it. I know him personally. It's an absolute lie, and I will not perpetuate the lie, and I will not bear false witness. I will not do it, James.
That is what we're talking about, and I don't want this conversation to sidetrack on one individual, but I'm giving you the things that they threw at him as the reasons why I should be kicked out of the church.
And the reasons they throw at me in the media of why I shouldn't syndicate your show. And I bring that up because
right.
The same reality is here. Same reason that you should leave the church. Your pastor's being given the same pressure that they give you, that they give me, and that they give him, and that is at the top of this Southern Baptist Convention. The same reality applies, right? And that's why I spend time on it.
That's exactly, and it should be spent time on. And I will tell you this, I want to be clear on this also. If David Duke or anybody else I knew in my life that I count as a friend was a caricature of the knuckle-dragging, you know, person who hates people just because they have a different skin color, that wouldn't be somebody that I brought into my inner circle. But I would treat them like anyone with different beliefs than mine with respect. But that wouldn't be someone that I would bring around my family. So I'm just telling you, I don't associate with people like that. And he's not one of those people, and neither am I, and neither is my pastor, and neither is Sam Bush. But the fact of the matter is that they went back and forth on all of this stuff, and the pastor said, honestly, I can't find – you can disagree with some of James's conclusions. You can disagree with some of the people that he has brought to his circle of friends. But I don't see anything here that he's done that's a sin against God or the church. He goes, why don't you just cut to the chase? Why don't you tell me exactly what you want me to do with James? You want me to kick James out of my church, don't you? And they said, yes. And he said, my pastor then said, I can't discipline a man who, in my estimation, has done no wrong. And then that is when the church let my pastor know that if he was not going to remove me as a member of his church, that they would be forced to bring a motion to the floor of the Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting, which takes place June 12th in Dallas. And the motion would be to disfellowship, that means kick out my pastor and the entire congregation, because he won't take action against me. Now, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. My pastor is in his early 70s, and he has presided as a pastor over our Southern Baptist congregation for more than 40 years. 40 years as a faithful steward of his charge. And it is not only a possibility, but it is, in fact, almost guaranteed that in about a week and a half, he will no longer be a Southern Baptist pastor, and we will no longer belong to a Southern Baptist church. They're going to take that from us. And
now, let's be clear about your pastor, too. Not only has he been there for 40 years, but he's been one of epic service, of impeccable service and delivery, to the point where he used to be called upon to support other churches and to strengthen other flocks and to support the general Christian cause, right?
God, there's never been an issue with the integrity of my pastor. My pastor has been a loyal and faithful servant of Jesus Christ. He, you know, was regularly a guest pastor at other churches when their pastor would be out. But of course, those invitations have dried up in light of all of this. And it's I will tell you, for 14 years, I've been attacked by our enemies. And don't feel sorry for me about that, ladies and gentlemen. I knew getting into something in the public arena that if we were ever successful enough to raise our profile to where people actually knew about us, that people are going to attack you. That's just the nature of politics. I can take that because I'm a man. But I'd be lying to you if I told you that it didn't bother me that they are attacking people that I love because of their association with me. And so I told Pastor, I never wanted anything that I've said or done to come back on you. And I said, if you wanted to throw me out, I wouldn't think less of you, and there wouldn't be any hard feelings. And he said, James, just stop that. He laughed as if that was a joke, but I was actually being quite serious. And I said, well, I just want you to know how much what you've done has inspired and encouraged me. I can't thank you enough. I mean, I just really was effusive, and my gratitude for him doing that, because it's so rare that a man would do that. And what my pastor said after that brought tears to my eye. I mean, it may do it again right now, because it is just so rare in this degenerate day and age that you'd have a man of honor that would stand by his brother when, again, as I said before, he has something, his livelihood even, to lose. This has been his whole life, and it's in the balance now. And he said, James, you know how much I love you and your family, and how much I loved your grandparents, and how much I love your family. He goes, but the fact that I love you isn't the reason why I did what I did. He goes, I did what I did because it was the right thing to do. So we will face the gallows together, I guess, in about 10 days, 10 or 11, 12 days now. That's where we'll be. And he did comment that there are over 15,000 Southern Baptist churches, or I think it's over 10,000, but there's 15 million members that they count on their rolls. And he asked the person, he said, this fellowship in a congregation is virtually unprecedented. It's the Southern Baptist equivalent of the death penalty. And he said that, you mean to tell me that of all the people, every member of every Southern Baptist church in the land, there's not one that's James Edwards is the worst of them all? And, his sin is so unforgivable that we're going to disfellowship not only him, but the entire church. And it just goes to show that the political pressure that even professed Christians are under to bow to the regime and to bow to political correctness and to their yearning to be pat on the head by the media and by people who hate us and who hate our Savior. But the fact that comment will stick with me until the day I die. I didn't do it because I love you. I did it because it was the right thing to do.
And I agree with your pastor on this. I support him 1,000%. I'm of a different Christian faith or denomination, if you will. But I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, Christians are facing intense, increasing persecution in America, including from the hands of their fellow saints. And I'm telling you right now, right, they're choosing this race issue right now. But set that aside for a second. I'm going to ask the Southern Baptists a question. Why do they have black churches and white churches in the Southern Baptist Convention? Should they have that, James?
Well, they would say that we're all a body of believers, which is true. And that
I agree, but here's the point, though. If they can have a separate church and people can choose to associate with who they want to, in other words, I'm okay with a black and a white church, don't get me wrong. I'm okay with anybody worshiping with anybody they want to in free association. But if they're going to say that James is the evil guy, what about a black and a white church? And shouldn't they, like the government, force segregation? Now, I'm not advocating for that. I'm making a point.
Well, I will tell you this, that one of my biggest detractors in the convention is a black pastor in Dallas who pastors, if not an exclusively black church, it's in the high 90%. And there are exclusively white churches, exclusively black churches there.
I think they ought to force quotas and force them to have, you'd have quotas in church, and you wouldn't be able to add another white person unless you had appropriate relationship, black people in there, too. And do you see where this forced reality goes, ladies and gentlemen? But the idea that they have black churches and white churches in the Southern Baptist Convention as affiliated churches, that brings up the question. Can they do that and James can't have his views? I'm just wondering, James.
Well, I'll tell you this, and I'll tell you this as a matter of fact with 100% degree of certainty. If everything that they had attributed to me had been said by a black member of the Southern Baptist Church, and you just substitute the words white for black and David Duke for,
Martin Luther King.
Or Martin Luther King. I'd probably be in line for a vice presidency in the convention. It wouldn't be a problem at all. All you have to do is substitute the words white for black. If I was a black Christian, proud of my heritage.
And that's the reason that I highlight this double standard so evident within the Baptist ranks that it's shocking. I'm not here to attack the Baptists, but I am here to highlight the persecution going on. Hour one in the can. James will come back second hour. This is an epic two-hour broadcast. We never take 2 hours to discuss a single topic, but we're doing it now. The second hour coming up, James will finish the story, tell you where we're at and what he's going to be doing. Then he's going to tell you how I fit into the mix. They're attacking me as a Christian as well, Liberty Roundtable listeners. Yeah. I don't know if they want to say that I'm a racist or no, they don't say I'm a racist. In fact, I don't even know what they say about me exactly. I just know they hate me and want to shut down everything good surrounding me. We'll tell you about that in hour 2 in seconds. We declare this nation shall endure.